Welcome to You Influence Podcast, where you will hear everything you need to learn how to be a man or woman of influence for the better in your personal and professional life, in business, at work, and in your social life. Becoming a person of positive influence has an invaluable effect in ways we cannot imagine, but can only be felt in personal fulfillment. Welcome back, everyone, to your season two of the You Influence podcast. Thank you so much for joining us back on this podcast. Happy New Year, happy 2020. Not to sound corny or cliche, but I hope all of you have your vision set to 2020. And I know it rhymes because of the year 2020, but literally because it's a new, not only because it's a new year, it's a new beginning to a brand new decade. One of the biggest differences I've learned, you know, many years ago, that why the Japanese culture, culturally speaking, is a lot more successful than the Western culture, which is US and Canada, is simply because in Japanese tradition, for thousands of years, they've been training, conditioned to make plans and to make goals for generations. Unlike in US culture, all of Western culture, we're training conditioned to make plans for the next 30 days, possibly even for the new year with all the new year resolutions. You know, people are just chasing tomorrow, how to pay the bills, how to take care of the kids, how to send the kids off to college. Meanwhile, in the Asian, particularly in the Japanese culture, they're trained to plan for generations, not just, you know, for what's in front of them today and tomorrow. So that's why I hope you all have written down your specific goals, your specific plans of action, you know, less how and more why for your 2020. This is episode one of season two. I want to thank from the bottom of my heart each and every one of you for participating, listening, tuning back in, commenting, subscribing, recommending, sharing through screenshots. You know, our episodes from season one, it's been a quite a journey. I wouldn't say it's been very difficult, but it has been something brand new. Prior to launching season one of the podcast, you know, as you already know the story, it took me a while to get it actually started simply because I was listening to the wrong information, wrong data, as far as why not to start a podcast. But in, I believe it was 50 episodes of season one, and the goal is, and it will be reached, mark my words, on this episode one of season two, I'm saying it right now, we're going to more than double that in 2020. So we will have over 100 episodes in 2020, God willing. So we do have a great lineup of guests for this year, and obviously we just keep adding them on. We have some interesting topics for you lined up this year as well. I am going to be focusing more on the influence of leadership, the influence of recruiting, the influence of building the culture. However, I'm not going to discount talking about topics and interviewing people that are not in that position maybe yet, but they are creating an influence in their community. They're creating an influence in their family. They're creating an influence as independent service provider, not necessarily someone who has employees per se, because influence is influence, you know. And by the way, thank you for everyone that has voted when I posted the polls as far as rebranding and renaming the podcast. And majority of people that voted, they voted for what I have been planning to do. So we were on the same page. However, I decided to keep the name You Influence. I think there's a lot of significance behind that name. If you don't know the significance behind that name, please check out episode one of season one. It's a quick 15, 16 minute episode, and I break it down as far as, you know, why the name behind this podcast. But one of the things that has helped me keep this name is were your votes. Even though there are less people that voted on the name to keep it, but the importance is the people that have voted to keep the name are the people that actually they were plugging in to season one. So they were listening to season one. How do I know this? Because of the interactions I've had. I've, you know, scrolled down through my DMs. I went back and read the reviews from season one. So once again, thank you all so much. If this is your first time tuning into this podcast, welcome. If you haven't subscribed yet, go ahead and click the subscribe button. I would greatly appreciate that. You know, leave a comment after this episode. And if this brings you value on any level, whether it's in your family, whether it's professionally, business, whatever, you know, your relationships, just, you know, go ahead, take a screenshot, share it. And if you could always reach me and let me know how it has helped you. And you can reach me at Rafael Mavi on Instagram and on Facebook. Here's what I want to talk to you today. This is going to be the first episode of season two. And the topic that I chose for you guys is branding versus building the business. And to some of you, it's common sense. You'll be like, well, why wouldn't you build a brand if you're building a business? And then some of you will be like, what the hell is a brand if I'm here to build a business? I'm making good money. I'm making 6-7 figures, maybe 8 figures, whatever the case is. Maybe you have a team of 30 employees and, you know, you're generating gross revenue, 8 figures, but you really haven't built a brand. And what gives me the right to talk about this? Number one, I am a consultant. I have clients that where we help them build a brand, build a business. We help them with culture development and growth strategies. Part of growth strategies is, of course, digital, leaving a digital footprint. So we handle all of their digital marketing. If they do not have a team in place that does it in-house. However, if they do, I just come in as a consultant, you know, and we work on a monthly basis. And it's a, you know, it's a relationship. It's not a one-day get-in, get-out type of deal. You know, I rarely do that. There were a couple of instances where I just came in, did the training, and that was it. Most of my work actually revolves around doing training on an ongoing basis until the client is sustainable and sufficient enough where their staff can now take over and handle everything when it comes to culture development and marketing. And I've launched this company this February. Will be 3 years. Actually, no, it'll be 4 years. That's right, it'll be 4 years since I launched a consulting company. And it will be 3 years. That's right. So it's 2020. In 17, I launched officially the consulting company. Prior to that, I've had two businesses, and I also spent 11 years in direct sales. So when I was in direct sales, I focused mainly on recruiting. And having recruited over 1,000 independent contractors, I firsthand understand what it's like to recruit, hire, onboard, and then build a culture within your team. So let me go back to why branding versus building the business. And I'm going to give you some points here. I'm going to go through this really quick. You know, if you get a chance, take notes. If you're driving, obviously don't take notes, but just go back to it and listen. Okay. Here's what I mean by building the brand. Number one, you need to understand what does a brand mean to you. Even if you haven't started a business, even if you're a professional, you know, and what is a brand to you? Maybe you're looking to start a business. The name, the meaning of the word branding, okay, simply mean, like you could say, oh, it's your logo, it's the colors, it's this, this, and that. Those are all like the minutiae, those are the details. That's not really the definition of branding. The branding is, it's your reputation. It's what people say behind your back when you're not around. As an individual, you have a brand that's called your personal reputation. As a business, you have a brand. Now, as a business, when you have staff and you have a team working with you, you know, the branding works two ways. Number one, it's your in-house branding. That's your culture. Right? So what are you doing inside of the four walls? What are you doing inside of your business once the door is locked? Right? Like, what's the communication like between you and the leadership, or, you know, with the rest of the employees? That's your brand. And then the second part of the branding is the outside, which is, what do consumers think of you? How do consumers respond? Well, how do prospects respond when they see your advertising? So you need to define what your brand will be. How do you define what your brand will be and what you will stand for? Number one, you need to define the purpose of your business. Why do you do what you do? What is the story behind the launch of the company? Did you start a product or service because you as a consumer at some point thought that's something you would want in a marketplace and then you launched the business? Or did you have something that you came across by accident, right? And you realized there's a demand for it. What is the story? You know, some people have a personal story of they went through some trauma and they realized, you know, that's something they need to do. It's basically, you know, a message that was downloaded into their subconscious and told them like, hey, listen, we need to change gears now. No more of what we've been doing for the past 15 years. Now we got to do this. Whatever the case is, you need to create a story for why you do what you do, right? So your purpose, that's number one. Number two, you need to have a clear mission and vision for your business, okay? A mission is a mission statement. What do you represent? A vision is what do you see down the road? What do you see in 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years from now, right? If you can plan for that much in advance, you should and you must. Simply because not only that, it's not going to help you alone, but it's also going to help a lot of people that you onboard, people that you will bring into your culture, into your organization that will be on a payroll, that will be part of the family. You know, not all employees will stay, not all employees will buy into completely, entirely in what you're doing, but it will help the other ones that will, when you have a clear mission and vision, you know, print it out, explain, communicate it with them initially, and then also continuously on daily, weekly, and monthly basis, right? Third one are the core values. Core values are crucial, not just for the business, but we all have core values. Like we may not think about it, we may not talk about it, but it's your internal ethical and ethics and moral indicator, right? Families have core values. Individuals have core values. And if you look at situations and stories of people that have steered away from their core values, most of the time they end up losing. A business that doesn't stick to their core values, they end up losing it in the marketplace to their competitors. All right. So define your core values, you know, 3 to 10 core values, you know, statements that you will stick to and they're not for sale. You will not bend over backwards for anyone or for anything, and you need to stick to your core values. That's how firm you need to be when it comes to building your brand, not just building the business. You know, the fifth one, what is it? 1, 2, 3, 4. So the fourth one is what's the ultimate goal of customer acquisition? You know, I recently posted something that most businesses acquire a customer, a client, for the sake of making new revenue, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. Every business needs to be profitable. Every business has to have revenue. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that mindset. However, the few and the most successful and sustainable businesses or individuals, like if you're an individual, if you're in real estate, if you're in mortgages, if you are a copywriter and it's you, right? You don't have any employees, you're still a business, meaning you are a business within yourself, right? I don't know how sustainable that is, how long you're gonna go for it. And I don't know what, you know, if you're looking to leave a legacy, leave a business behind when the day that you're not here, but you're still a service provider. You're offering a service into the marketplace. So the most successful businesses and sustainable ones are the ones that are not focusing on getting a client for the sake of making new revenue, but their goal is to focus on getting a new customer for the sake of getting a new referral. It's always the next step. You know, what's that goal? Why are you getting that new customer? What do you essentially want them to do? Just to pay you, then that's it? Well, you're in it for a treat because now it's like marketing all over again, you know? So like for single people, like why do you ask somebody out on a date? It's not for the sake of, you know, having dinner with them, but hopefully to have breakfast with them and hopefully to spend the rest of your life if you're looking for that companionship, right? If you're not, if you're just looking for a date, your goal is not to get them to dinner. Your goal is to you know, to have breakfast with them, or it's the long longevity of that short-term acquisition. You know, for businesses, it's like that too. It's like, what are you getting a customer for? Is it just, you know, for a transactional deal and that's it, to make new revenue? Or do you want referrals? Do you want to create a lifetime ambassador that will speak highly of your brand, which is your reputation, right? So any customer, any client that provides referrals, they became your brand ambassador because they believe in what you do and they believe in the results you will get them. That is the only reason somebody will ever refer another customer to you. You need to understand that part. The only reason someone will ever give you a referral is because they believe in what you do and they also believe in the result you will get them and the person they're referring to you, right? And you have a lot of local businesses in a small business that start up, they have 4, 5, 10, 15, 20, 50 employees, but they don't think like that. The unfortunate part is they do not think like that. They think about, you know, turning a profit, you know, hiring the next person, and guess what? And this is what I'm going to talk to you about next in the next 5 to 10 minutes, and that is, you know, what are the benefits of building a brand rather than just building a business? So what are the benefits? Number one, first of all, you become a magnet for good talent. The top two problems that businesses have, regardless whether you're a small, medium, or large size business, okay? Top two problems are, number one, getting new clients. Second is getting good, quote unquote, good staff. How do I hire the right or the best people, right? Because of the turnover, because of the cost that's associated with the turnover and things like that. When you have your brand that's already established and you've been building your brand, you understand the purpose of reinvestment and investment into your brand, right? You become a magnet for good talent. Word will spread, just like a word spreads within among clients, right? As far as how good of a business or service provider, whether you're in finance, medical, it doesn't matter, legal, it doesn't matter what you do, right? The same way the word spreads about good employers, great employers. People talk, your employees will talk, and their friends will want to work for you, with you, when you have a great brand that's established and it's trustworthy, okay? Second benefit is customer acquisition. Customer acquisition becomes a lot less expensive when you have a great brand that's established. You see, what is the difference between marketing and branding? So customer acquisition is part of your marketing. Brand is why the people will do business with you. When you are participating in customer acquisition, when you're advertising, when you're marketing, right? It's when you're marketing, that's the message that goes out into the marketplace saying, hey, check us out. Here's what we do. Here's why we do it. And this is how we do it. Right? Not necessarily in that order. It should be why you do what you do. Here's what you offer, and this is how you get it done. Okay? Most businesses do not advertise that way. They just advertise in a way like, hey, check us out. Here's what we do. If you're lucky, they'll tell you how they do it. But nobody ever tells you why they do what they do. Okay? So if you want to stand out, you want to start with why, what, and then how. So your marketing becomes a lot easier when your branding is taken care of. The next benefit is it's less expensive to operate a business. You have less turnover. When you have an established brand, a brand recognition, and you have the trust factor already in place, people want to continue working with you. Now, will everybody continue to work with you? Absolutely not. There's no such thing as 100% retention rate. No such thing. But on an annual basis, if you're currently going through about 20-25%, turnover, I call attrition, and you need to replace your employees, you want to ideally get it down to about 5-10% attendance most. Industry good, and I quote good, my air quotes here, marketplace good, again in quotes, is considered to be 10-15%. You want to shoot for 5-10%. Anything over 20% is already considered to be very, very expensive. It costs a lot of money. Just to put into perspective, it will cost you about 30 a minimum of 30% of someone's annual salary to replace them, right? Now, if you look at research done by LinkedIn, Inc., I've looked at research done by Celex. It's a workforce solution. I like looking at their surveys and research. They're looking at about 35-40%. I even lowered the bar simply because I understand that not every business is 100 employees and more, right? So we're looking at businesses that could be a local salon, spa, barbershop, accounting firm, and taking those salaries into consideration as well. So not everybody makes $50,000 a year. You'll have people that are making $8-$10 an hour, you know? So when you average it out, it will cost you a minimum of 30% of someone's annual salary. So if somebody's making $50,000 a year, or let's say $30,000 a year, what's 15% of $30,000? That's $9,000. So it will cost you $9,000 to replace them at the minimum. Now you may ask, how do you calculate 30%? And again, I'm giving you the minimum, right? The marketplace says it will cost you a minimum of 35-40%. Well, here's the thing. You will only realize the expense that's associated with the turnover are the direct billing, which is through your Indeed, through your Monster, through ZipRecruiter, through whatever platform you're using to hire somebody or to find somebody, right, to recruit. That's actually the least expensive item on the list of expenses associated with replacement and onboarding. The highest, and which is hidden, cost of replacement is the money spent on senior team member to train that brand new person or hiring manager, right? I call the labor cost and effort lost. So people that were supposed to do something else, what they were hired for, now they're spending their time, valuable assets, resources, and your money, decision makers' money, to train somebody new. And when you do not have your branding and culture in place, chances are that new person is going to exit your premises 3 to 6 months. That's not me saying it. That is research. That is data. You cannot screw with data. Okay? When you don't have your brand, when you don't have your culture established, and it's a healthy working culture, working environment, there's no trust, there's no open communication, right? The person is likely to exit your employment, okay, 3 to 6 months. There goes your money. So at the bare minimum, it will cost you 30% of their annual salary. Going back to what is the benefit of having a brand, it is less expensive. Your turnover is lower. It's a lower cost for marketing and advertising. Last but not least, this is just some of the things that I wanted to cover with you. There's so much more. But last but not least is the business becomes sellable. If you haven't read the book called Built to Sell, it's an absolute must. I don't care if you are a solopreneur or if you're a business with a few employees or a few dozen employees. Read the book called Built to Sell. When you have a business that is has established reputation, which is your brand, and it's systemized, the business becomes more sellable. When you're just a business and you don't know why you do what you do, besides like, oh, I got to cover my rent. I couldn't work for a boss anymore. Now I opened up this little shop here and, you know, I have 4 employees. I just want to take care of my kids at home, you know, pay for their school, pay for my lifestyle. That's it. That is not a why. Okay. You own a high paying job. That is not a mission and vision and core values and the meaning of a brand. That is not a business. You need to understand that. It is time for people to become more educated as far as what business actually means. So, when you do have a brand, it becomes easier to run the business. When you just have the business, it becomes very expensive to grow that business or even sustain that business. Guys, once again, thank you so much for tuning back in. I greatly appreciate all of you. I really, really do. I'm excited for this new year. I have, you know, we have great lineup of guests for 2020. If you got value from this podcast, from this episode, leave a comment, share it, subscribe. And any questions, just, you know, hit me up. You know where to find me by now. It's Rafael Mahavi, Rafael with PH, by the way, on Instagram and Facebook. And by the way, if you do have a LinkedIn profile, I'm very active on LinkedIn as well. Connect with me. And I'm looking forward to sharing a lot more information with you. This is going to be an amazing year, and it's going to be an amazing decade for all of us. I'm certain of it. Guys, thank you so much. Looking forward to connecting with you on the next podcast. Take care.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. I appreciate each and every one of you for tuning in. And if you haven't subscribed to this podcast already, please show us your support by subscribing and leaving a positive review to help us advance on the chart. You can always connect with me on social media by searching for Rafael Mavi at Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or LinkedIn. If you have any questions or just want to drop a line, the fastest way to get a hold of me is through my Instagram. Until next time.